الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة التغابن اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الارض له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن والله بما تعملون بصير خلق السماوات والأرض بالحق وصوركم فأحسن صوركم وإليه المصير يعلم ما في السماوات والأرض ويعلم ما تسرون وما تعلنون والله عليم بذات الصدور ألم يأتكم نبأ الذين كفروا من قبل فذاقوا وبال أمرهم ولهم عذاب أليم ذلك بأنه كانت تأتيهم رسلهم بالبينات فقالوا أبشر يهدوننا فكفروا وتولوا واستغنى الله والله غني حميد زعم الذين كفروا أن لن يبعثوا قل بلى وربي لتبعثن ثم لتنبؤن بما عملتم وذلك على الله يسير فآمنوا بالله ورسوله والنور الذي أنزلنا والله بما تعملون خبير يوم يجمعكم ليوم الجمع ذلك يوم التغابن ومن يؤمن بالله ويعمل صالحا يكفر عنه سيئاته ويدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم والذين كفروا وكذبوا بآياتنا أولئك أصحاب النار خالدين فيها وبئس المصير صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ربنا الهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم ربنا نور قلوبنا بالايمان واشرح صدورنا للاسلام ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى آمین یا رب العالمین. Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, the fourth lesson of the second part of the selected course of study of the Quran, which is being explained and discussed in this series of lectures, it comprises of Surah At-Taghabun, and this is the second lesson in this selected course, which consists of a complete surah. The first lesson was Surah Al-Asr, although it was a small surah, but it was a complete surah. Again we have now a complete surah, Surah At-Taghabun. I have recited only the first section of ruku of this surah. It comprises of 10 ayat. The total number of ayat is 18. The second section of ruku consists of 8 ayat. Now, this surah Al-Mubarakah, it is a more clear and most beautiful example of the fact that all the surahs of the Quran, number one, they have a main theme, main subject, main theme of that surah, which we call Umud, the central theme of that surah. And all the ayat of that surah are connected with that main theme, just like the beads or the pearls or the flowers of a garland. They are connected with each other, and there is a continuity of the subject which is being discussed. Now we learned about the position of this surah in the Mus'haf. I told you, the Mus'haf this Quran has been divided into 7 ahzab or manazil. So that if a person wants to complete the recitation of the whole of the Quran in 1 week, he should recite 1 hizb or 1 manzil of the Quran so that he can complete the recitation of the whole Quran in 1 week. So this is the final hizb or the final manzil of the Quran. We start from Surah Al-Qaf. So this Surah Al-Mubarakah is also included in the final hizb or the final manzil. I also told you that there are 7 groups of the surahs of the Quran regarding Makki and Madani surahs. Every group starts with 1 or more than 1 Makki surahs, and there are 1 or more than 1 Madani surahs, and 1 group is completed. This is a separate division. It has no connection with those ahzab. Makki, Madani, 1 group, then again Makkiyat, and then Madaniyat, 2nd group. Again, Makki surahs, and then again Madani surahs, and it's the 3rd group. So there are 7 groups of Makki and Madani surahs also in the whole Quran. Now this surah belongs to the 6th group. This 6th group, it has some peculiar points about it. Because number 1, the 6th group is balanced, just as the 2nd group from the very beginning. I told you that the 1st group is Suratul Fatiha Makki. It's a very small surah comprising 7 ayat only. Although it's Ummul Quran, Asasul Quran, as regards its azmah and fazilah, that is actually, it's a very big surah in that regard. But a small surah in the volume. But then we have 4, the longest 4 surahs which are Madani. Suratul Baqarah, Suratul Al Imran, Suratul Nisa, Suratul Maida. Then the 2nd group, that is balanced in this sense. There are 2 surahs which are Makki and 2 surahs which are Madani. Suratul An'am, Suratul A'raf, Makkiyat. Suratul Anfal, Suratul Tawbah, Madaniyat. So that is a more balanced type of group. In the same way we find this 6th group, you know, it has 6-7 surahs which are Makki. Suratul Qaf, Suratul Zariyat, then Suratul Tur, then Suratul Najm, Suratul Qamar, Suratul Rahman, Suratul Waqi'ah. And then there are 10 surahs which are Madani. Starting from Suratul Hadid, which is the last surah of the 27th part of the Quran. And then you know the whole of the 28th part, which comprises of 9 surahs. These are all Madaniyat. This is the biggest group of the Madani surahs in the whole of the Quran as regards the number. As regards the volume, the first 4 surahs, you know, they are very big. They comprise more than 6 parts of the Quran. But you know the number of these surahs, you will never find anywhere in the Quran Madani surahs in such a big number. Because either you have those 4, then the 2, Suratul Anfal and Suratul Tawbah, then you have 1, Suratul Nur, again 1, Suratul Ahzab, then you know you have 3, Surah Muhammad, Surah Fatah, or Suratul Hujarat, and then you have these 10 surahs. So actually this is the biggest collection of the Madani surahs in the Quran. Now, about this group, the Makki surahs of this group, as I named, Suratul Qaf, Suratul Zariyat, Suratul Tur, Suratul Najm, Suratul Qamar, Suratul Rahman, and then Suratul Waqi'ah. They are the most beautiful surahs of the Quran as regards the literary beauty, the external beauty. And you must be knowing that one of these surahs, Suratul Rahman, the Prophet himself, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has given it the name Urusul Quran. It's the bride of the Quran. Suratul Rahman, Urusul Quran. It's a very beautiful surah, you know, as regards, you know, the beauty of the words. Then there is the rhythm and the flow and the sound effect. All these things, every Muslim knows it and loves Suratul Rahman, everybody. So actually this is included in this 6th group of these surahs. All these surahs, you know, have very small size of the ayat, is very small. Then there is the rhythm, you know, and the flow, and there is the beauty, literary beauty. This is the most beautiful part of the Quran regarding the literary beauty. And regarding the Badawi surahs of this group, they are also very important. As I told you, 10 surahs. And the most important as regards the address to the Muslims, the Muslim Ummah. You know, here in 10 surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to Muslims only. If there is a reference to kuffar, it's just a reference. They are not addressed. Not even the people of the book. There is a reference to Ahl-e Kitab in these surahs. But just an example for the Muslims, that you must think that before you they were the people of the book. They were the representatives of Allah on earth. What happened to them? Allah's punishment came to them. Maghdoobe alayhim, they have become the people on whom Allah's wrath has come. So lest you should also take to the same conduct and attitude, that you also get the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually in these all 10 surahs of this group, the address is directly to the Muslims. Number two, you will find that in surahs, mostly there is the rebuke or and admonition for the Muslims. Why are you going slow in your jihad? Why are you not spending for the cause of Allah? مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُنْفِقُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ مَا لَكُمْ لَا تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. As if you know the Muslims as a whole, as a collective ummah, there is some slowing down in their jihad and in their infaq fi sabilillah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is admonishing them. And that is why this becomes the most important part of the Quran for us. Because the condition that we have today, our iman, our jihad, all these things, our infaq fi sabilillah, we are very low. We have gone much down. So actually these surahs, they are the most important part of the Quran for the Muslims today. If they read these surahs, maybe they get the same sentiments again. The same, you know, the sentiment, the determination to make jihad for the cause of Allah. To go and make infaq for the cause of Allah. So these surahs, and that is why in this course of study, out of the 10 surahs, we have included full 6 surahs. This is the first surah which we are discussing today. That is Surah Al-Taghabun. Then Surah Al-Saf, Surah Al-Jumah, Surah Al-Munafiqun, Surah Al-Tahreem. And the last part of this selected course of study comprises of only one surah. And that is the beginning surah of this collection of 10 surahs. And that is Surah Al-Hadid. Thirdly, please note that in this collection of surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something very easy for us. Because there are very fundamental and important topics which have been discussed at length in the long Makki and Madani surahs. For example, subject of Iman that has been discussed in the Makki surahs. And very long discussions. But we have here this Surah Al-Taghabun, only 18 ayat. And it's the most comprehensive surah of the Quran on the subject of Iman. What Iman is, what should be the results and fruit of real Iman. If there is real Iman, then there should be some results. They should be visible. There should be some change in the attitude, in the thinking, in the point of view of the person, in the values of the person, if he has real Iman in his heart. So all these subjects have been discussed. And the summary of what is Iman, and what should be the result and fruits of this Iman? They have been given in only 18 ayat. In the same way we find that the subject of nifaq, what is nifaq? What are the reasons of nifaq? What are the signs and symptoms of nifaq? What's the prognosis of nifaq? And what's the treatment of nifaq? Because Quran says nifaq is a marad. It's a disease. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. In their hearts there is a disease. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has increased their disease. And that is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which we shall be discussing in Surah Al-Saf. Now we know this all terminology about a disease. What is the etiology? What are the causes? Then what is the symptomatology? What are the symptoms by which you can diagnose that there is nifaq? Then the prognosis. What's the treatment? The preventive treatment, the curative treatment. All these subjects have been discussed in only 11 ayat of Surah Al-Munafiqun. And that is also, although there are lengthy discussions on this topic, in Surah Al-Nisa, in Surah Al-Tawbah, in Surah Al-Imran, in Surah Al-Ahzab, in most of the Madani surahs, the subject of nifaq has been discussed at length. But here we find in this collection of small surahs, a surah whose name is Surah Al-Munafiqun. And it consists of only 11 ayat. And as I have given you, we shall discuss inshallah, that's also included in this selected course of study. So then it will become very clear how the summary of very lengthy discussions about nifaq has been given in only 11 ayat of Surah Al-Munafiqun. Now focusing our attention on this surah, Surah Al-Taghabun. As I told you, the subject of this surah is Iman. We have been discussing Iman. Already we have, you know, three lessons we have studied. Surah Al-Fatiha. Then the six ayat from Surah Al-Imran, last section. Then the eight ayat comprising the fifth section of Surah Al-Nur, which we studied yesterday. And now this is a complete surah, which I have told you, the subject of this surah is Iman. And that is why it is preceded by Surah Al-Munafiqun. Because, please note, that Iman has two antonyms. Iman versus Kufr. Iman versus Nifaq. So actually Iman has two antonyms, two opposites. One is Kufr. Somebody is openly saying, I don't believe in Allah, I don't believe in Muhammad. So there Iman versus Kufr. But there is Iman versus Nifaq. Somebody says, he claims I believe, but actually he has Nifaq in his heart. Nifaq is also Kufr. Because we shall see in the second, in the third ayah of Surah Al-Munafiqun, ذَلَكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُ فَتُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. They did come to believe, but then they have committed Kufr. So there are two forms of Kufr. One is open Kufr. When a person himself says, but I don't believe. He is outside the pale of Islam. But there is a person who says, I believe. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَقُولُ آمَنَّا بِاللَّهِ وَبِالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَمَا هُمْ بِمُؤْمِنِينَ. There are persons who claim that they believe in Allah and they believe in the hereafter, but they are not believers. So actually, Iman has two antonyms, two opposites. One is Kufr and one is Nifaq. So about the Muslims, as regards the Muslims, the antonym or the opposite of Iman is Nifaq. That is why here the pair is Surah Al-Munafiqun and then Surah Al-Taghabun. Surah Al-Munafiqun discusses Nifaq and Surah Al-Taghabun is discussing Iman. And this is a very natural way, because you will find Nafi and then Isbat. Because you know our Kalma, Kalma Tayyiba, La ilaha illallah. There's first negation, La ilaha. And then affirmation, illallah. There is another example. The ayah after ayat al-Kursi in Surah al-Baqarah. فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالْتَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى. Kufr bittaghut has to precede the Iman billah. In the same way here we find nifaq discussed first and then Iman has been discussed. Now the first section of this surah which I have recited, it comprises of 10 ayat, as I have told you. And there is a very beautiful numerical arrangement in these 10 ayat. The first 7 ayat are narrative. They are describing, they are narrating different articles of faith. What is Iman? So to say, it has been discussed in 7 ayat. And we shall see 4 of these 7 are devoted to Iman Billah and Tawheed and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then there are 2 ayat regarding the institution of messengerhood, prophethood of Allah. Then in 1 ayah, the Iman bil Akhirah has been discussed. So 7 ayat, 4 plus 2 plus 1, 4 about Tawheed and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and 2 about the institution of messengerhood of Allah, and then the 1, and that is for Iman bil Akhirah. Then in the remaining 3 ayat of this first ruku or first section, there is an invitation and call. These are the facts. Tawheed is a fact. The institution of prophethood is a fact. Resurrection is a fact. The life hereafter is a fact. Now believe it. فَآمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَالدُّورِ الَّذِي أَنزَلْنَا. And here you will find a converse proportion. In one ayah, iman billah and iman bil risalah covered. And two ayat, and very lengthy ayat, they discuss the iman bil akhirah. So actually today, we shall be able to, inshallah, study only this part. Maybe we can study some part of the, some ayat of the second section also. But I will explain the arrangement of the ayat in the second ruku later on. And now we begin with the word by word study of the Surah Al-Mubarakah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. Everything that is in the heavens or in the earth is glorifying Allah or is extolling the limitless glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Him belongs the sovereignty. All sovereignty, all dominion belongs to Him. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd. All praise and all gratitude also belongs to Him. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadeer. And He is all powerful. He can do everything. He is omnipotent. This is ayah number one. Now in our this course of study, this concept of tasbih has come for the first time. And because in this collection of the surahs about which I have told you, the 10 surahs, the 6 out of these 10, they start with this word. Suratul Hadid starts, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Suratul Hashr starts, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Suratul Saf starts, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Suratul Jumu'ah starts, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And here the last, Suratul Taghabun is starting, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now the translation has been done by all the translators. Everything glorifies Allah. But what does it mean? We have to understand in depth. What is this tasbih? Because I quoted to you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has been included by Imam Tirmidhi in his Jami'. And the Sahabi who has reported this hadith, he is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhumah. Abdullah, the son of Amr ibn al-As. No, Abdullah says, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, التسبيح نصف الميزان والحمد لله تملأه. Half of the balance is filled by tasbih. And the rest of the half is completed by hamd, alhamdulillah. So now these, you know, kalimat. And you know, you must be knowing that the last hadith of the Sahih of Imam Bukhari is kalimatane, habibatane ila rahmane, saqilatane fil mizane, subhanallah wa bihamd, khafifatane ala lisane, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Now what does it mean? We must study and understand in depth what's the meaning of how everything is glorifying Allah. And what's the meaning of tasbih? Glorifying, you know, we don't have any other word in English language which can give us an understanding of this tasbih. But actually tasbih is much more profound, you know. And we must understand it. What is tasbih? First of all, we have to go to the root. Seen ba ha. Sabaha yasbahu in Arabic means to swim or to float. If a thing, you know, keeps on the surface of the water, it doesn't go down, it's not drowned. You say it is swimming or it's floating. And the Arab would say, sabaha yasbahu. To keep floating, either on water, even in the atmosphere. If something is moving, keeping its level, not going down. It's moving there, keeping its level. And in the same way, in the space, because there was no concept of space before, but today we can use that word on the analogy. something floating or swimming on the surface of the water, something moving in the atmosphere, but keeping its level, not going down. The Arabs would call it sabaha yasbahu. At two places in the Quran we find, in ayah 33 of Surah Al-Anbiya, ayah 40 of Surah Yasin, kullum fi falakin yasbahoon. All these celestial bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, kullun fi falakin yasbahoon. All are floating in their own planes, in their own levels, you know, their own orbits, as well as their own planes. Everything is moving and keeping its level. كُلُّن فِي فَلَكِي يَسْبَحُونَ. And this is very profound ayah of the Quran. Because you know, many changes came in the human knowledge. There was a time when we humans thought, that you know, the earth is stationary, the sun is moving, the moon is moving, the earth is stationary. Then you know, there came a time when we came to know, no, the earth is moving. And you know, then there came a time, and now we know everything is moving. There's nothing stationary. From the solar system to this atom, the structure of the atom, electrons moving. You know, everything moving. سُكُو مُحَال ہے قُدْرَتْ کے کارخانے میں سبات ایک تغیر کو ہے زمانے میں. Nothing is stationary here. And now you know this word kul. Now it appears in, you know, the full connotation of the word. Kullun fi falakin yasbahun. Everything is moving. Everything is floating. Everything is moving in its own orbit at its own level. So that is the meaning of the word sabaha yasbahu. Now from sabaha yasbahu you go sabaha yusabbihu. Now here it becomes to keep something floating. You keep something, make it have its level, not let it down, not you know, let it go down or drown. If you are making something float, it is sabbaha yusabbihu. Now what is the tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Tasbih for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be to maintain His oneness and His uniqueness. Number two, to express and exclaim and understand and keep in view that He is without any weakness, He is without any need, without any fault. He is a complete person in all regards. His authority, His power, His knowledge, His wisdom, all things without any fault, without any weakness, without any discrepancy. There's nothing, you know, in Him that is the manifestation of some weakness or some aib, something which might be for Him, you know, not up to His, you know, up to His status and His station and His level. So if you express these things, these sentiments, this is sabbaha yusabbihu. Allah is free from all faults, from all weaknesses, from all discrepancies. He is free, He is above, He is ala, He is arfa, He is munazza, he is pure. This is actually tasbih. And now let us complete this subject. What is hamd? Tasbih is the negative part. And when we say, Allah is a complete person, He has all the attributes, all the good values which you can imagine are present in His person to the fullest extent. His power, His strength, His knowledge, His wisdom, all are boundless, all are complete. So actually this tasbih and hamd, they are complementary. He is free from any weakness. He has all the high attributes, all the high values, they are present in His person. So these actually go and complete the concept of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tasbihu nisful mizan. Walhamdulillah tamlahu. Actually this is the all concept that we can have about Allah. We cannot know Allah, His person we don't know. Actually, That is the limitation of our knowledge about Allah. His Zaat, His person, that is above our imagination. That is incomprehensible, inconceivable, above our imagination. We can't know Him. But you know, we know Him only through His attributes. And even about attributes, we say He is all-powerful. But how much powerful He is, we can't imagine. Because our mind is limited. We can't imagine how much powerful He is. We can't imagine. We can say only He knows everything, and that's all. We can say He can do everything, and that's all. So actually, this word of kul, that's the only refuge that we have when we have to describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Huwa bi kulli shayin alim. Huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. No other sense, no other word we can use. How can we imagine? You know, I usually give the example. You know, the goldsmith has a balance. This balance can weigh ounces, grams, not tons. If you have to weigh something in tons, the goldsmith's balance won't do. You must have some other balance. So our minds actually, they are like the balances of the goldsmiths. We can only weigh ounces and grams, not tons and tons. So actually, quantitatively, we can't imagine the attributes of Allah. Only what we can imagine is the qualitative side of the attributes of Allah. He is powerful. He is Al-Aziz. He is Al-Qadir. He is Al-Aleem. He is Al-Hakim. All these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are actually His attributes. But you know, the only refuge for us while describing the attributes of Allah is the word kul. All powerful, omnipotent, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. So actually this, what you will find in this surah, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now, I have described what is tasbih. To have in view and to exclaim that Allah has no weakness, He has no need of anybody, He is complete in Himself, He is self-sufficient, and all the good attributes are present in Him to the fullest extent. That is actually that we can say, all that we can say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then what is the, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how everything is glorifying and making tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is very important. For example, Quran says that everything is doing tasbih and everyone is doing tasbih. In what sense? When we say subhanallah, 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 we are glorifying Him, we are doing tasbih for Him with our tongue. How is everything doing this tasbih? And this is so important that Quran emphasizes it again and again. I have quoted, you know, the five surahs of this group start with this subject. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَاللَّهِ سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي اللَّهِ يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي اللَّهِ. So actually, when you say مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي اللَّهِ, what does it mean? Everything, every person, everyone, whether he is in the heavens or on the earth. And everything, whether it is in the heavens or in the earth. Then when the Quran uses the past tense also, sabbaha, it is past. And yusabbihu, this fele muzare I told you, it includes the present tense as well as the future tense. What does it mean? All the time, everything, every person has always been praising Allah, has always been glorifying Allah, is every moment doing it, and will continue doing it as forever. Now this is the concept that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. And we have an ayat in Surah Bani Israel. It's ayat number 44. تُصَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّرُّ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ فِيهِنَّ وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ. All the seven heavens and the earth and whatever is in it is glorifying Allah. Is doing tasbih for Allah. But, and there's nothing وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ there's nothing إِلَّا يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ but it is glorifying as well as praising. It's making tasbih as well as tahmeed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ but you can't understand their tasbih and tahmeed. Now, there are two ways of doing tasbih. First is through your tongue. When we say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. As you know, it's the tasbih of Fatima, radiyallahu ta'ala anha, which the Prophet told her that after every obligatory prayer, you count 33 times you say Subhanallah. 33 times you say Alhamdulillah. 33 times you say Allahu Akbar. And then you complete it. And with la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-Ali al-Azim. So actually, this is the tasbih Fatima. Or some say that Allahu Akbar should be 34 times. These are in different, you know, traditions. But tasbih Fatima, we are doing it with our tongue. But there are things, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given any tongue to everything, that it is doing tasbih. There is the possibility of this also. Because we find, you know, in the Quran two things. Number one, Quran says, that when Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu was salam, when he used to sing the hymns for and praise for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the small hours of the morning, even the mountains joined him and the birds also joined him in his prayer. So they have also a consciousness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given everything a tongue. And then we know that on the day of judgment Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give a tongue to even our organs of our bodies. Our own skins will testify against us. And then we shall say, لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا Why are you testifying against us? You were my skin, you were my hand, you were my feet, and today you are testifying against me. لِمَا شَهِدْتُمْ عَلَيْنَا And these organs of ours will say, أَنْتَقَنَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْتَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Today Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us also a tongue to express ourselves, our feelings, as he gave a tongue to everybody, everything. So there is something, you know, which we can't comprehend. But Quran tells us that everything has some tongue, some language of its own, some way of expressing, and everything is at every moment glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because, you know, Quran says, وَلَكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيَهُمْ Because we can't understand. But there is another aspect of this tasbih which we can understand. And that is more important for us to understand. And what is it? Everything by its own existence. You know, for example, this is a table. It has been made by a carpenter. Now this table in itself is a testimony either to the fact that my manufacturer or my carpenter is a very expert person. He knows his job. He's a very expert person. Or this will testify by itself, its existence, its form, that the person who made me doesn't know his job well. Either he knows the job or he doesn't know the job. Any picture, what is it? It is as a speaking that you, the person who has drawn me is a very perfect artist. So it is glorifying its artist by its own existence. In this way, everything which has been created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from its very existence, it is glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the person, the creator who created me, he has all the knowledge, all the power and authority, all the wisdom, because we can't find many faults with the creation. This creation is a perfect creation in every respect. So who created it? Actually the perfection is of the creator, not of the creation. So that is the way everything is glorifying and this is intelligible to us. We can understand it. So both the meanings, they are possible. Because in the ayah of Surah Bani Israel, Allah says, وَلَاكِ اللَّهَ تَفْقَهُونَ تَفْقِيَهُمْ So there must be some way of expression, verbal expression also, that everything is doing. We must believe it because Quran says, تُصَبِّحُ لَهُ السَّمَاوَاتُ السَّبْعُ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ وَإِمْ مِنْ شَيْنِ اللَّهِ يُصَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَلَاكِنْ لَا تَفْقَهُونَ تَسْبِيحَهُمْ It's just possible. Just as we know today, that the plants have also feelings. When you pluck a flower from the plant, it has a shock. Just as you feel a shock, just if there is harm done to you, if a child has been taken away from the womb of a mother or snatched from her, then what is the shock that the mother is feeling? The shock is there. In the same way, if you pluck a flower from the plant feels a shock. Now this we know today. We didn't know it earlier. So maybe it comes to our knowledge at some later stage that everything has some means of expressing its own feelings. It has its own tongue. It has its own language. And in its own tongue and language, it is glorifying Allah. It is making tasbih for Allah. It is doing praise of Allah. It is saying the hamd of Allah. That is also possible. But the second aspect, that is absolutely clear. That's intelligible. That everything, because it's a creation. And it is actually testifying by its very existence that my Creator is a complete person. His knowledge, His wisdom, His power and authority, His creative authority, creative power, all are complete. There's no diminution, no weakness, nothing, no shortcoming in His person in any way, and that is the speech. سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And now please note one point more. This is actually another way of saying the same thing that we read. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. Everything in this universe is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You see it and you recognize Allah. You see it and you remember Allah. Just I gave you the example. Some friend of yours gave you a handkerchief or a pen, for example. It was placed in some suitcase. Now that you have not met that friend for 20 long years, you have just forgotten him. But it comes that someday you open your suitcase, you find that pen or that handkerchief, and suddenly you remember your friend. In the same way, everything in this universe is a sign to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَالْفُلْكِ الَّتِي تَجْرِي فِي الْبَحْرِ بِمَا يَنْفَعُ النَّاسِ وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِنْ مَاءٍ فَأَحْيَا بِهِ الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا وَبَثَّ فِيهَا مِنْ كُلِّ دَابَّةٍ وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. People who use their intellect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed them with, they will find everything speaking as if it is speaking. And it is testifying to the presence of its Creator. And here we find not only testifying to the existence of the Creator, but also that He is Subbuh, He is Quddus, He is above all defects, all shortcomings, no weakness, no need with Him. Actually, He is a complete person in every respect. All the good values, all the good attributes which you can imagine are present in His person to the fullest extent and beyond any limits. So that is the tasbih and tahmeed. يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Now, the second part of this ayah, لَهُ الْمُلْكِ, very important. لَهُ الْحَمْدِ. Hamd we have studied. What is hamd? I have described today also, and we discussed it in Surah Al-Fatiha. Because that's the first word of the Quran. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. But here we find mulk, concept of sovereignty. All sovereignty belongs to Him. He is the sovereign. This is the most important point regarding Muslims. The starting point of Iman would be to understand that all goods are coming, whatever we are getting, the source is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all praise be to Him, all thanks be to Him, all gratitude be to Him. But a Muslim who already believes, claims that I believe in Allah, for him the most important point about Allah is, He is Al-Malik. Al-Malikul Quddusul Salamul Mu'minul Muhaiminul Azizul Jabbarul Mutakabbir. That is why in Suratul Hadid you will find in the first six ayat, twice the words have been repeated. Lahu Mulkus Samawati Wallah. Sovereignty and all dominion of all these heavens and this earth belongs to Him alone. This concept of divine sovereignty is very crucial. Because whosoever claims sovereignty Actually, he is claiming to be equal to Allah. He is in revolt against Allah. He is in rebellion against Allah. Because sovereignty belongs to him and him alone. This is a very important point. In Surah Jumu'ah also you'll find, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. The most important attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which has been emphasized in these surahs, starting from Surah Al-Hadid, I told you, in the very first six ayat of Surah Al-Hadid, you will find, لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, twice. Then in Surah Al-Jumu'ah, يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكِ الْقُدُّوسِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. In Surah Al-Hajr, الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر. Out of the eight names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first one which appears is Al-Malik. He is the king. He is the sovereign. He is the only rightful ruler of this world. Whosoever claims sovereignty, irrespective of whether he is a person, or he is a nation, or a whole population of a country. Popular sovereignty. It's rebellion against Allah. You know, as you have, you know, in the Lord's Prayer of the Christians, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The same concept. Quran gives thrice. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. It is He, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sent His messenger, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with al-huda, the guidance, the book, al-Quran, and the deenul haq, the just system of life, the just social order. And what for? To make it supreme. So that Allah's social order, Allah's political socio-economic system is established. And the basis of that system is divine sovereignty. In al-hukmu illa lillah, there can be no hukm, no authority, except with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنِ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ لَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. He is not ready to associate anybody in his authority to give command. He is the sovereign. So this is very important here. You note it, because in the end of this surah, there will come, you know, the ayat whose connotation would be only clear if you keep in your view this point, لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ. To him belongs the sovereignty, to him belongs the dominion of everything, and to him belongs the praise and gratitude. وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. I've explained it already. This word kul, you know, that's the only refuge we can take for describing the attribute of Allah. We can't say how powerful He is, how qadir, how much qadir He is. We can't imagine. How much knowing He is, what are the extents of His knowledge, we can't imagine, beyond our imagination. So the word kul, huwa bi kulli shayin alim, huwa ala kulli shayin qadir. Now the second ayah, huwa alladhi khalaqakum. It is He who created you all. Fa minkum kafirun wa minkum mu'min. Now within the brackets I am adding the verse, then how amazing it is, how illogical it is that someone amongst you is unbeliever and someone amongst you is believing, if he believes. We have created you all. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. It is He who has created all of you. But someone amongst you believes, someone doesn't believe. فَمِنْكُمْ كَافِرٌ وَمِنْكُمْ مُؤْمِنٌ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. And whatsoever you are doing, Allah is seeing it. What for? There's an inherent threat in it. He is seeing it. When a father says to his child, I am seeing what you are doing. Whatever you are doing is in my knowledge. What does it mean? Don't think I am unaware of your attitude. And what does it mean? I will reward you accordingly. All this seeing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not for any academic interest. It's not that he has to write some thesis and he's making all these observations. He's seeing. What does it mean? He will reward your actions. He will punish you if you are doing wrong deeds. And he will reward you. He will give you good reward if you are doing good deeds. سو ایکچولی ود ایمان باللہ، ایمان بالآخرہ از سو مچ کنیکٹڈ دیٹ اٹ کمز الانگ ود ایمان باللہ، ایمان بالآخرہ کمز امیڈیٹلی اینڈ آٹومیٹیکلی. هو الذي خلقكم فمنكم كافر ومنكم مؤمن والله بما تعملون بصير. خلق السماوات والارض بالحق، he created all the heavens and the earth. Now بالحق it is difficult to translate it in one word. Most of the translators which I have studied, they say with the truth. What does it mean with the truth? He has created the heavens and the earth with the truth. It doesn't give any sense. It means with a purpose. As we saw in the second lesson of our this second part, the people who are pondering over the creation of this universe, who remember Allah, الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَٰذَا بَاطِلًا. They reach the conclusion, oh Lord, you have not created all this without any purpose. It's not a creation without any wisdom. It has a purpose. It has a design. It has a design behind it. It has a wisdom behind it. Because we know it now that not even a blade of grass is without any purpose. There's nothing is purposeless here. Everything is fulfilling some purpose. It's all interconnected. It's all organic whole. All the things are joined together. A grain of wheat cannot grow unless you know all the forces of the nature join hands. The earth, whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in it, the water, which starts a process of osmosis, and the seed germinates. Without the help of water, that process wouldn't start. Then the water comes from the rain. If the winds are not working, if the sun is not doing its duty, the rain would not come. So all the forces of the nature are joined together and then you can get a grain of wheat. So actually it's a whole integrated system. It's one controlled, centrally controlled system. So that is why then we have to see that it has been created with a purpose. Nothing is here without any purpose. Everything, there's a big machine, but a small part of it is also very important. Maybe the whole machine becomes useless. Only because a very small part of it has gone out of order. The whole machine is okay, but only a very small part, because it has gone out of order, is standing still. So everything here is purposeful. So actually, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. Then He gave you a form, a shape. He portrayed you. And when I was thinking about it, I prefer the word, He has carved you. Just as sculptor, He has carved you. So actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sculptor who has carved every one of us. How beautiful human beings He has produced. And the form that He has given you. وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. Your form, your shapes, all these, your contours, all this body, this balance in your different organs. فَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ. Then what for? To go in vain? To live and die and that's all? To do whatever you like? And there's not going to be any result? No reward? No reward for the evil, good reward for the good doers? The virtuous people? And no punishment for the evil doers? For the cruel? People who repress others? Suppress others, exploit others, deceive others, there's not going to be any punishment for them. Can you believe it? Actually, in the last part of Suratul Mu'minun, أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثَ وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَى اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ رَبُّ الْعَرْشِ الْكَرِيمِ. Did you think that we created you without any purpose, in vain, abath, batila? And that you will not have to return to us? أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ. If we are not to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this life of ours is abath. It is batil. It is purposeless. No result of our virtuous acts. No punishment of our evil doing. People are happy here. They are living luxurious lives, although they are deceiving people. Although, you know, they are the evil doers, they have no scruples in life. They are exploiting others. Nations exploiting nations. You know, the developed countries, they are sucking the blood of the non-developed countries. What is happening? What is the global, you know, the economy? They are sucking the blood, they are exploiting. And there's going to be no punishment, no redressing of the people to whom they have been cruel. No. If it is so, then this creation is abas. أَفَحَسِبْتُمْ أَنَّمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ عَبَثًا وَأَنَّكُمْ إِلَيْنَا لَا تُرْجَعُونَ فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ. Allah is very high and He is Al-Malik. Can there be a king who doesn't give good rewards for the people who are faithful and who doesn't punish those who revolt against Him? Can there be a king? Allah is the biggest king. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَلِكُ الْحَقُّ. How is it possible that He will not reward His faithful and He will not punish the people who revolted against Him, who broke His laws and who were claiming to be sovereign themselves, to be equal to Allah actually. So actually this is the logical relationship. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ وَصَوَّرَكُمْ فَأَحْسَنَ صُوَرَكُمْ وَإِلَيْهِ الْمَصِيرِ. This is the result. You have to return to Him. Your journey will be going and it will take you, in the end, you will be there before your Lord, standing in the presence of your Lord on the Day of Judgment. يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Now this ayah, you know, ayah number 4, it gives the attribute of the knowledge of Allah. But here we have 3 dimensions of the knowledge of Allah in one ayah. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He knows whatever is there in all the heavens and the earth. Is it not complete? Everything exists within the heavens or the earth. So it's the complete thing. But now the second dimension. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ. He knows what you say out openly, what you express, and what you hide. He knows all the things. This is the second dimension. Not only what you are saying, He knows not only that you are saying, but also what you are hiding. And then there's a third dimension, and that is very important. وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows your subconscious mind also. Because you may not be knowing your subconscious mind. When you are hiding something, you know it. You are willfully hiding something. But you know there is third dimension. There is the subconscious mind. The depth, you know, of the subconscious mind. We even don't know what is there lurking in the subconscious mind of the people or my own mind, my own subconscious mind. Allah knows that also. So that is actually the 3-dimensional knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 1, يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It's complete in every respect. Number 2, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا تُسِرُّونَ وَمَا تُعْلِنُونَ. He knows what you hide and what you express openly. And number 3, وَهُوَ عَلِيمٌ بِذَاتِ الصُّدُورِ. He knows whatever is there in the depths of your heart, in this chest, you know, whatever you have here. And maybe even you don't know what is lurking in your subconscious mind, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that also. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِرِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ.